Well, here's one that I see all over Lobby Chat. And what's Lobby Chat? Oh, quick plug for the poker site I rep, which is swcpoker.club. Is it club now? Yeah. Use sign up code Hilo Kitty, HILO. KITTY, if you want to see what I'm talking about, which is lobby chat. And sometimes I say I'm just a girl from a small town lobby chat. Because I'm still charmed by this crazy thing. But it is a amusement park of fallacies engaged by people who are just trying to make the best play conversationally that they possibly can, and they have no idea that they're engaging bias. So, one of the most common ones is personal incredulity. This is rejecting a claim or explanation simply because it seems too strange, too complicated, or too outside one's own experience to possibly be true. All tonight, or all last night, I was watching, some person from Scottsdale who was insisting that there is no roundup of, he says, Mexicans. The Mexicans are all out still doing the yard work, he says. So there's nobody rounding them up. The media just took one image and showed it to the paranoid boomers, and now there's, countrywide fear. But it's not really happening, they kept saying. And their proof that it wasn't happening was that their yard work is getting done in Scottsdale. I'm not kidding. That's it. That's their proof. So, of course, the way that they presented it was, our government would never do such a thing, and anyone who believes that they would simply does not understand the rule of law or democracy, things that have absolutely nothing to do whatsoever with the current ICE campaign. So instead of engaging with evidence, a person leads on their inability or unwillingness to imagine something being real. This halts inquiry, entrenches ignorance, and turns personal limits into false universal truths, like Mr. Scottsdale. He's kind of like Mr. Florida, isn't he? Maybe we should look to Arizona a little bit differently. I can't believe our government would ever coordinate with Conrad. Corporations to censor people, so it must not be happening. Please. I think I'll do a whole recording on that one. There's no way a few billionaires could influence global food policy. It's too big and too complicated. Yeah, nice try. This fallacy is weaponized by making complex realities seem impossible through ridicule, pop culture tropes, or intentionally convoluted explanations, ensuring that only fringe people will entertain them, effectively quarantining uncomfortable truths. So this is exactly how both sides managed to bury the bodily autonomy frame of Roe v. Wade. And if you doubt for a second that anybody except maybe Bernie Sanders, I think Bernie Sanders really wants us to have bodily autonomy. I swear. I've never talked to the man, but I've looked at the surveillance footage of him darting and weaving through a protest crowd, and he's kind of, authentic. So I think that we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But everybody else, even people whose politics, practice of politics, I admire because it's effective and efficient. In fact, I would go back all the way to Henry Hyde. Everybody would assume that Henry Hyde would be pro elimination of Roe v. Wade. But Henry Hyde, who occasionally babysat me when I was a baby Republican, He would say cute things to my mother, like, Georgette, you have to leave her here. She needs to get to spend some time with her own kind. And then he would talk to me like an adult. So I actually never knew that he was a devout Catholic because it wasn't relevant to policy discussion. I can't imagine a politician today, especially one who is perceived with the extreme lens that we cast on Henry Hyde, having that distinction. But Mr. Hyde told me, blah, 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 blah. Well, our people like it. It wasn't about him. He actually took that republic thing serious, that representative thing seriously. So, when people said it's absurd to think that an entire political class would want to close the door to bodily autonomy, they were wrong because the republic, the representatives of the people versus the people, this is an us versus them. As soon as they get into office, they are seeking to maintain office. So they're looking for footholds into power with committees. Those committees don't necessarily serve the constituents. We should look at that carefully. Anyway. We're going to do, I think we're going to do 8 to 10 more minutes on political, on personal incredulity. I don't think I've given you guys enough. So let me find some notes. So. Personal incredulity, refusing to believe that something is true because it sounds strange, complex, or counter to your own experience. Your inability to imagine it happening means it couldn't happen. This works so well in politics because it isn't just a private bias, it's a deliberate weapon in political narrative control. The easiest way to keep the public from questioning something is to make the truth sound ridiculous so that if the person will question it, they too will sound ridiculous. This goes back to, you remember how in like, okay, maybe this is an American thing and I don't know my audience is, but what I remember for second and third grade was that fashion was not a thing. You had to wear things that would keep you from having the shit kicked out of you on the playground. It couldn't be the wrong brand, so you didn't risk brands at all. I mean, polo shirts were safe, but that's about it. And nothing trendy because then you live and die on that trend. Adults are just older versions of those third graders. They can't stand the idea of being made to seem ludicrous, ridiculous, silly. So, if you craft a narrative to present a topic as silly, then they will act as if it's beneath them. This is bipartisan. Both parties benefit from keeping certain realities in the nah, that's crazy bin. Sorry, I broke again. Bodily autonomy is a big one because we have a whole class of contributor that is insurance-based, extractive capitalism in pharma is a whole big topic here, but Let's just believe me. How's that? That'll save us from having to listen to me rant for like 30 minutes setting this shit up. I'll write it out for y'all. For decades, Roe v. Wade was sold to the public as an abortion rights case, even though its core was bodily autonomy. Why? Because once you frame it as abortion, you can force the debate into morality, religion, and wedge politics. If you tell people this case protects your right to refuse any forced medical procedure, including things unrelated to pregnancy, you risk bipartisan panic. Suddenly, both parties have something to lose. The bipartisan consensus keeps the broader bodily autonomy framing unthinkable, inconceivable. Don't let people even imagine it. In fact, don't let them even look up the word autonomy. Just, take that out of autocorrect. By the time the big, beautiful bill hits the floor for a partisan showdown, the real work has already been done in the quiet bills that came before it. Those earlier bills are bipartisan and quietly established the legal scaffolding for the showpiece legislation. When people are told this, they respond with, "No way. If both sides wanted it, I would have heard about it." That's personal incredulity. And it's exactly why those bills don't make the news. If you can't believe bipartisan cooperation exists except for ceremonial stuff, you'll never track the real details. And you deserve to know how this country's being run. Corruption that's too big to be true becomes a bait for personal incredulity. People can believe in petty corruption, a bribe here, a crony appointment there, but systemic corruption? Where are we seeing this now? We're seeing this now in the framing that people use in their personal posts and chosen reposts about Epstein and Maxwell. Epstein and Maxwell are operatives, were operatives, and they were foreign resources. They did their job, which was to compromise and catalog those compromises. Anyone who might later be of use to their controller's cause. We know this because it's quite obvious that, what's his name? The Ohio guy. Do you know that his business took off from a single storefront with no, evident, propulsion? Do you know that, Epstein's parents were part of the same, immigrant, group? And had access to the same wealth. That was not real. And so it wasn't really that billionaire's money to hand out or not hand out. And that's why we see blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I can totally make my argument if you want me to later. But this would be corruption that's too big to be true. You see, when we accept this, or even algorithmic literacy, oh my God, do you know that they can determine by scrolling habits if someone is autistic or ADHD or ADHD like me? It's true. It's not tinfoil hat stuff. Not only that, but if you feed text constructs into a ChatGPT LLM, they can do the same thing, and they can tell you where they're flagging what behaviors. So now that's terrifying, isn't it? You can believe in petty corruption, but that? That's fucking terrifying. The idea that whole swaths of government, media, corporations operate as a coordinated influence machine, that's fucking terrifying. So, what do we do? Well, it can't possibly be true. Personal incredulity also is a response to the idea that the moon landing was faked. most people don't actually give this any thought. They just say, well, it couldn't possibly have been faked because there were too many people involved, and those people would not be involved in that way, or some shit like that. You know, there is actually a whole logical structure that supports that. It's basically the same thing as sleeper cell math. It can't be because of this. We would have seen whispers of this. Math is cool. But look for three tells. A claim is instantly dismissed as impossible without examining evidence. The dismissal relies on personal scale. I've never seen that happen, so it can't happen. There's a financial or political incentive for that thing to be unimaginable. This hands gatekeepers the power to define your reality for you. It stops real investigation before it starts. It lets bipartisan backroom deals proceed without public scrutiny. So treat I can't imagine it as a signal to pause and dig deeper. Look for earlier legislative breadcrumbs when you're horrified by the idea of a bill. Ask who benefits if I accept that I can't even picture this. Personal incredulity is the invisible velvet rope at the entrance to reality. You don't see it because the bouncer in your head just told you that's not the kind of place where you belong. And the moment you accept that, the whole club, the deals, the rights, the power, it stays on the other side of the